So we looked last week at Elijah coming on the scene at a moment in history, very similar to our own. Again, Elijah's Israel, it was Jehovah or Baal, us it's Jesus or Satan. 1 Kings 18:21, and Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him." But the people answered not a word. Just to say this briefly, the ultimate goal of the enemy is to silence the righteous. Okay? And so the prophets, most of the prophets of the Lord had already been put to death by Jezebel. There was a tremendous persecution that was released in this season against those who worshiped the Lord. And I think it brought them to the point where they were afraid to speak. Okay? So being canceled back then was worse than it is today. But in Scripture, names pertain to character, calling, and authority. So I want to look at some names with you of the characters in this chapter. Ahab was ruling with Israel. He was called the most wicked king in Israel's history to date. His wife's name, Jezebel, was the daughter of Ethbaal. That's the same Baal that we're talking about. So again, let's look at some names. Ahab's name's meaning is friend of father. Jezebel's name means pure, chaste. Ethbaal's name means toward the idol or with Baal. Baal means master, again, more of a title than a name. We use the term Satan in Hebrew. Hebrew means an adversary. In Greek, it means the accuser. But his given name by the Lord before he fell was Lucifer, which means the morning star. But the root of his name, Lucifer, has halal in it, and it's to praise or to shine in the sense of brightness. So I just want to submit to you that there is a calling and a grace on your life that God wants to develop, but if you turn away from the Lord, you become something other than he intended. And Ahab became something other than God intended. Jezebel became something other than God intended. Ethbaal, I don't know if there's any redemption for that name, but no, I shouldn't say that, but he was fully given to darkness. Okay? The name that's translated, when you see Lord in your Bible in the Old Testament and it's all capitalized, it's from Yahweh. We don't really know how to pronounce it. I don't even know if I did it justice there, but the Latinized and Anglicized version that we use is Jehovah. It's the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. It means the self-existent eternal one. Yeshua, which we pronounce Jesus, means Jehovah is salvation. So you can see how in the meaning of names, you see the calling and character and anointing of the person, okay? Elijah's name means Jehovah is my God. So he fulfilled that in this showdown. Ahab took as a politically expedient act the daughter of Ethbaal to his immediate north. The Sidonians were Phoenicians, not Israelites, who worshiped Baal. Jehovah is the God of Israel up until this point. And I want to say, like as we honor the same God, our worship like theirs has been corrupted by idolatry. So we want to get back to the pure and simple devotion to Jesus that he has for us and not get mixed up in all the nonsense that's going on in the world, other than to speak to it. I mean, I'm not saying don't speak to it, but don't get... I'm just going to say this as kindly as I can. If you listen to the news too much, you're going to lose your mind because it's information warfare. Jezebel was taken from her people, her culture, her language, and her religion. She, like her father, was with Baal. It's all she knew. So I know I'm painting her as a bit of a sympathetic character, but there's always a backstory. You know, when you see a little baby, I see these little children, and they're so sweet and they're so innocent, and all these people started out that way. But it really matters our input into their lives. So the way kings of old would form alliances or make peace would be to marry a daughter to the neighboring king. And that's what happened here. So, but Ahab had his opportunity to introduce Jezebel to Jehovah. And according to the law of Moses, he should have never married her, but he did. Then to add to his own sin, he supported Jezebel's desire to remove Jehovah and replace him with Baal. That's been going on. I mean, they started, it's been going on for a long time, but some of the major junkers were taking prayer out of school. There's been a whole party, and one whole party, I'll let you figure out which one it is, that's said we don't want any part of God on our platform. We're removing him from our platform in 2012. And so the Lord is being pushed out, but something else is taking its place, whether we believe it or not. Nature abhors a vacuum, yes? And the spirit realm is the same way. I just want to submit to you respectfully that we are living through a very similar experience in our country right now. Religiously, politically, and culturally, same as Israel. Because the enemy, he tries to affect every area of life. Baal means master. So it's, Jesus is our shepherd. He leads us. Baal will drive you. The enemy is a driver and Jesus is a leader. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. You guys have heard of the Temple of Satan? It's a legitimate... What do I want to say? It's a 501c3 religion in the United States called the Temple of Satan. They filed a lawsuit against the U.S. government claiming that abortion is their First Amendment religious right as child sacrifice is a part of their worship. Planned Parenthood has yet to denounce or distance themselves from this claim. But this is unbelievable. This is, you know, I got to tell you, I'm not that young, but I'm not that old, but I'm at the stage where I can't believe what's happening. It's hard to wrap my head around it. So Baal was the god of nature, prosperity, represented as fertile crops. He's also represented in human sexuality and child sacrifice. The annual celebration and worship at the altar of Baal, usually at the spring solstice, was an act of intercourse between a man and a woman that was acted out on the altar, representing Baal and Ashtaroth. The initial judgments toward the Lord of his people are corrective judgments as an act of grace to call us back to himself. So when we hear the word judgment, we shouldn't be thinking about, oh, this is mean God, he's mad at us again. And no, he's making us uncomfortable until we return to him. And my prayer for the United States is it won't have to get that much more uncomfortable before it returns to the Lord. That's our heart, right? Baal was in charge of bringing rain for crops, hence prosperity. No rain for 3 years, as I mentioned earlier, declared by Elijah as a judgment from Jehovah, proved that he is the Lord God over Baal too. So it's kind of like the Egyptians going through the judgments when Moses was proclaiming that the 10 primary gods of Egypt were being judged by the 10 plagues. And so it's a similar thing we're seeing here. God alone, our God alone, has ultimate power over the environment and over all created beings. Yes? So I just want us to think about the impact of this story on the Apostle James when he wrote, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. As if he has committed sin, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone is among you is wandering from the truth, and then someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from his error of his ways will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. I think this story is clearly in James's mind when he's writing it, because the apostles were great students of Scripture. So he may have just been reading, or maybe it was a favorite passage, as it is mine. I love Elijah. He's one of my heroes. But this thought comes, is anyone suffering? So there's always someone suffering, yes? From something. Is anyone cheerful? Sometimes. Every time they open the big guy's garage. No. Is anyone sick? The sick you have with you always. There's always going to be someone who needs healing, right? So we're all in there somewhere. I'm going to say, what's the remedy? Well, we don't want the remedy for cure for cheerfulness. We want to stay in that. But the remedy is prayer. So you can pray for yourself. If you need more help than that, ask someone else to help you pray. If you need more help than that, call the elders. Give us a shout on Sunday morning. We'll bring you up here. We'll drown you in oil. No, we'll just anoint you with oil and pray for you. And if there's something that's in your life that doesn't need to be there, don't tell everybody, because not everybody's safe. Tell someone you can trust and agree with them in prayer and repent, and you will be forgiven. So why repentance and confession? No, I just want to say thank you for asking, because I've been wanting to answer that question. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So I think he's bringing a linkage between our own personal struggles and this event to say that God wants us to overcome. During Ahab's reign, there was prosperity and military success. Just one kind of interesting note, he had a throne with steps. The whole throne was ivory, and there were ivory lions on each step, and it was all overlaid with gold. The guy was doing okay. But he was leading the nation in the wrong direction, so God steps in. So the stock market's really high. Okay, it is now. But so there can be things where it looks like things are okay, but there's the underpinnings of culture being pulled out. You guys know if you're a boy or a girl, right? All my life, growing up, I was only interested in girls. I wasn't interested in boys. And then I got married, and I've only been interested in one girl ever since. That seems normal to me, but it doesn't seem normal to what's going on now. Jezebel killed every prophet of Jehovah she could find, but by God's grace, Elijah and 100 others were preserved. Jezebel set up 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Ashtaroth in her court, and they dined at her table. The opulence that these people lived in was unimaginable. You know, just those people, that's I don't know if their families were involved, but just that's 850 people that eat with you at your table. That's a lot of people. That's a big table. That's a big banquet hall. And I'm sure they conducted themselves with great propriety. All right. I believe that's where we are here. Judgment, in my opinion, is upon our source of prosperity, which isn't crops. Our source of prosperity is the petrodollar. That's why I showed you that earlier. As the global reserve currency tied to the Federal Reserve or central banks. If that gets touched, I just want to warn you, we're headed for a ride. Inflation will be beyond belief. So we need to pray for repentance before that hits. So Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, also he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." So the call, the prosperity of this nation is tied to Christ. And as we distance ourselves from him, we're losing that. I mean, the debt right now is staggering. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to give you a good motivation to pray, because we need it. I don't know what level of discomfort has to occur before we get serious and pray. I'm not saying you're not praying, but I mean, pray with fervency, because fervent, righteous prayer avails much. So we got to get fervent and maybe a little more righteous. Who knows? Mammon was a Chaldean word, which is, you know, represented by the Babylonian Empire. Mammon was a deity that represented the deification of greed. So Jesus pulling that word out was not random. You can't serve God in greed. First, the persecution. 1 Kings 18:1-16. "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go present yourself to Abraham, and I will send rain on the earth.' So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, who was in charge of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was while Jezebel... While Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 50 to a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said to Obadiah, 'Go into all the land with the springs of water and the brooks, and perhaps we may find grass to keep the horses and mules alive, so that we will not have to kill any livestock.' So they divided the land between them to explore it, and Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself." Isn't it amazing that the Lord has a faithful guy named Obadiah right under King Ahab's nose? And God's just amazing that way. So I know there's good people in government, and God give them a voice, right? "Now, as Obadiah went on his way, suddenly Elijah met him, and he recognized him, and he fell on his face and said, 'Is that you, my lord Elijah?' And he answered him and said, 'It is I. Go and tell your master Elijah is here.' So he said, 'How have I sinned that you are delivering your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me?'" You see the seriousness of the conditions there. This isn't an idle statement. This is what's happening. "As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you. And when they said, 'He is not here,' he took an oath from the kingdom or nation that they could not find you. And now they say, 'Go tell your master Elijah is here.' And it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from you that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you to a place I do not know. So when I go and tell Ahab I cannot find you, he will kill me." Isn't this amazing? Stop and go and read over this a few times on your own, because there's some really powerful stuff in here. I don't want to take all the time with it right now, but Elijah was going to be taken up in a whirlwind. It's kind of amazing. He didn't need to book an airline flight to travel, apparently. "Was it not reported to my lord what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, and how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets, 50 to a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now you say, 'Go tell your master Elijah's here.' He will kill me." And Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. So again, being canceled back then was worse than it is today. When a government sanctions religious persecution, as Ahab and Jezebel did, they've crossed a line that the Lord is prepared to answer. And we've seen that throughout history. I don't want to take the time with that right now, but just it happens. I think what we saw during the global pandemic, global plandemic, or whatever you want to call it, that the religion of scientism was pitted against the church, and by the grace of God and the boldness of Pastor Che in Pasadena and the goodness of the Supreme Court, our First Amendment rights were upheld. But they were trying to block us from ever going to church again. I agree. That's very troubling. Speaking of trouble, 1 Kings 17 through 20, then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, "Is that you, O troubler of Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals." See, it's more than an individual, it's a title. "Now therefore send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal, the 400 prophets of Asherah, and all who eat at Jezebel's table." So I want to stop there this thought was presented by on an interview I heard between John Zmirak and Eric Metaxas, and I'm going to develop it a little further than they did in their conversation, but it struck me. We hear a lot today about this thing, your truth, my truth, right? So I'm not going to say this in a really nice way, but before we arrive at that level of stupidity, we must first obscure the truth, okay? So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So once the truth, or in reality, the Lord our God is obscured, then we can have my truth and your truth. Ahab's Baal-inspired truth was that Elijah was the source of his nation's trouble. He was. See how that works? The truth was that Ahab was leading the national sin of idolatry through the worship of Baal and the pantheon of Gentile deities, and he was the real troubler of Israel. Doesn't it sound like our media? The problem with the country right now is Christian nationalists. It's the same spirit. With the same lies, over and over again, and the idea is to get us to be quiet. Don't say what you're saying. Just be quiet. I don't think so. Look at what they've been calling us for the last 40 years or so with increasing levels of venom. Remember when we were just hypocrites? And I thought, that's kind of true. I'm not living up to everything I know. Are you guys? I mean, there's always a... It's like as I'm learning more, I'm wanting to rise to that level. And sometimes I... And I know you guys don't do that. So you know how to pray for me now because you're holy, pure, and true. Mm-hmm. You are a basket of deplorables. Proud of it, brother. Christian nationalists. You know, they're trying to link us with fascism. Those tricky people. Irredeemable. And so going about Christians. Irredeemable to who? To Satan. I'm never coming back. You hear me? I'm never coming back. Domestic terrorists. I don't want you to groom my child into a lifestyle that's offensive to the Lord. You're a domestic terrorist. Ultra-white right-wing extremist says, I could go do this for a while. The truth is that our leaders who engage in the debauchery at Epstein Island and the Bohemian Grove, booyah, are leading our nation down the slippery slope of idolatry into their truth, which is demonic wisdom. Can I read to you from James's opinion on this? James 3, 14 through 16, "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth." Ahab, This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. So at first it makes an earthly sense, then it goes into the realm of sensuality, and then into the demonic arena. When it gets into that arena, we're in real trouble. But that's where my truth and your truth is. Don't buy that. Someone says to you, do you know Jesus? Well, I don't receive that because that's not my truth, that's your truth. No, it's the truth. I didn't make it up, and I'm taking ownership of it only because it's in the Bible. I didn't write it. I'm just a reporter. Don't shoot the reporter. Wherever the truth confronts demonic lies, there will be a showdown for control of the space. All right? So don't we see this very clearly in media, in arts and entertainment? I'm really thankful that there's some independent filmmakers that are coming out with Christian films, and I just want to encourage you to support that. This afternoon, watch The Chosen. It will blow your mind. This episode will blow your mind because I saw it yesterday because I'm special. Oh, my goodness. This spirit has taken hold, this my truth, your truth, this demonic wisdom has taken a foothold in education, yeah, in politics, in sports, in science and technology. They're coming for the church and the family. And we can stick our head in the sand and just go, la, 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 whatever. But you know what? It's happening. Look at their laws on marriage. Marriage is between a man and a woman, period. Someone else can say they're married. They can say they're purple. They can say whatever they want. I don't care. But when we make a law that affirms something that's not true, we're in trouble. We're putting our nation at risk. This whole thing with the gender dysphoria, I feel sorry for people that go through that. I'm not saying anything about that. But when we promote it, we've really crossed the line. This is where Israel was under Ahab, and I think it's where we find ourselves. So I'm not calling Republican or Democrat Ahab because I put both sides up on the screen for you, okay? It's a spirit. I'm talking about a spirit. I'm not talking about a party. I make jokes. Just forgive me if you need to. But the real thing is the spirit behind it. Final passage. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, and if Baal is, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Now do you see, I read that before, but now do you see why they're not speaking? They're afraid. And I get it. Sometimes it's hard to say the truth when there's stuff coming at you. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods. See, it's plural. It's Elohim, so the context is the fallen angels, that's what they're worshiping. The pagan deities are fallen angels, the ones that left heaven with Satan, okay? And I will call on the name of the Lord, and the Lord who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. So the stage is set, Jehovah or Baal. That's where I'm going to leave you tonight, but I'm going to leave you with some questions. The question before us is, who is God, Satan, or Jesus? Right. It wasn't a trick question. Will we, as the United States of America, be a sheep or a goat nation when Jesus returns?
Sheep.
Yes. Will we become puppets for the Antichrist, or will we be overcomers for the Lord our God?
Overcomers.
Amen. We can only choose for ourselves. We're not in control. The Lord is. It sounds confusing sometimes when you listen to people, like if you make the right declaration, you're going to control everything. Oh, no, he's in control. I trust him. But the thing that I can do, I can't make decisions for those who are in authority, but I can pray for them. So, Lord, we bow before you and we declare that you are our God. Jesus, you rule supremely in our lives at Family Worship Center. And, Lord, we're praying that that rule and reign, your kingdom come, your will be done in Washington, D.C., in the President, in the Senate, in the Congress, in the Supreme Court, in the lower courts, in the governors, in the mayors. Lord, that you would work whether from the bottom up or the top down or both directions, we don't care. But Lord, we're praying for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon these United States of America. Thank you for the exposure that's going on with people in high office. We believe, Lord, that it's you and your grace giving them opportunity to repent. So Lord, we pray that the gift of repentance would come upon those who are under pressure, that they will turn. In Jesus' name. And Lord, if there's anything in our hearts that's displeasing you, Lord, reveal it and help us to be overcomers in it and through it. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you guys.